Lots of kids learn about the seven deadly sins in Sunday school: greed, lust, gluttony, anger, pride, envy, and sloth. But you can also learn them about them in science class, in a manner of speaking. At this year's Atlanta Science Festival, seven researchers will present their findings on sin, or the seven deadly sins. That event will be held at Fernbank Science Center. Along with the lecture, several signature dishes that pair well with each delicious vice. With us today are two of the scientists from that event. Larry Young is the director of the Center for Translational Social Neuroscience at Emory University, and his presentation deals with what?
Lust.
Lust. Sarah Bronson is an associate professor of psychology and philosophy at Georgia State University, and she presents the sin of
envy.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Hello.
Can we start with whether or not there's actually a scientific definition? Let me go with you first. Is there, according to science, does envy exist?
Absolutely. I mean, envy is at base people responding to getting less than another individual or watching this go on. And so, yes, I mean, social psychology, economics, now evolutionary biology are starting to address this.
But science would never call it a sin.
No.
Larry, what about lust? Does that exist scientifically?
Sure it does. Lust is a desire for something or somebody, whether that be food or a relationship or whatever. And we know quite a bit about the neurobiology and neurochemistry of that.
So lust doesn't have to refer to sex?
Absolutely not. There can be lust for food, lust for drugs.
Okay, so how do you test? Let's go first to envy, mm-hmm. Because I read about this one test that they used, and I'm sure you know about this, where they gave pairs of children unequal amounts of candy. Right. Okay, so what happened when they tested children for this?
Well, the same thing happens with children as with many other species and also adults. So if you give the kids different amounts of food or different numbers of pieces of candy, you get a lot of, that's not fair. And in fact, oftentimes they'll end up rejecting the lower value reward. So the one who gets less will just quit participating altogether.
And these were kids in this particular test that were ages 4 through 8, and they actually went for giving up their own, as you say. They'd rather mm-hmm. have no candy than have less than the other person had.
And this has been tested cross-culturally in many different societies from kids age 4 up through 15 or 16, and you see exactly the same thing.
And yet we find that in adulthood, people, even if they know they're getting less money, a salary, than somebody else, they'll still take the lower salary. So is that changing?
So they'll still take the lower salary, but they'll resent it. And so that might increase the likelihood that they go look for another job, or that they start doing things like checking their email more, their personal email more, or pilfering office supplies. So people will level things out. It's called psychological leveling mechanisms. They'll even things out in other ways.
But is feeling that something is unfair mm-hmm. and not equitable, is that the same as feeling envy? But or does it require that I actually want what they have?
Unfairness is more of an ideal. So to really to have a sense of fairness, it's not just that I get upset when I get less. It's also when I get upset when I witness something that I consider to be unfair, or when I'm upset that I have more because I understand that you're going to be upset about it and what it might do to our relationship. So envy is really specific to I want what you have because you have it.
Okay, so let's move on to lust. How do you test or sort of find the boundaries of lust?
Well, it depends on how you define it and what you're studying. And when we study animals, we're studying desire, wanting, and whether an animal will do work for something. So work for food, for example. And by doing these kinds of experiments, we can identify the chemicals in the brain areas, the circuitry in the brain that create that wanting. Lust is really a wanting for something.
And do we then try to find a line where it's too much? In other words, do we test for when an animal will hurt themselves in order to get what they want?
We can, I think most of the research is really about what is the initiation of that wanting. And so lust is really
the motivation of it.
The motivation of wanting.
And that's also true. I mean, human beings are animals.
Human beings are animals, and we want food, we want sex, we want relationships.
And we want to be equal with everybody else. You guys are kind of related.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Scientifically. And if I want something and somebody else has more of it, then I might trigger into envy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you guys must have had a nice conversation before the show here.
Yes, we actually collaborate.
We do.
So then let's talk about some of how we view things in terms of seven, and they call them deadly sins. Now, I completely get that that's a religious perspective on these things and not scientific. And we're talking about the scientific ones. But I wanted to present you this theory from the social psychologist Simon Laham, who's from Australia. He says that, in fact, what we call the seven deadly sins are actually evolutionarily based and they're beneficial. Sarah, what do you make of that? Is there a benefit to envy?
Absolutely. So envy... So there's a longstanding theory that what envy is, or what being upset by inequity is an ability to judge your relationship with your social partner. So if you and I are working together and cooperating, and you're continually getting more than me, that tells me something about you. What that probably means is that you're taking more than your fair share, and maybe I should go try working with Larry, because I might be better off in that case.
And you probably are anyway. I know nothing about science.
So yeah, I mean, it's a way to judge your relationships, and especially your cooperative relationships. And so if you have a sense of inequity, that might tell you it's time to go look somewhere else for a different relationship. Now, you could carry it to the extreme. If you just get upset by every single little instance of inequity, then that's going to destroy relationships that might be beneficial in the long term. So there is a happy medium, but it's absolutely beneficial over the long term.
So it's like kind of like all things in moderation.
Exactly.
Is that sort of the same when we think about lust?
Well, when you think about lust, if you think about sexuality, for example, evolutionarily it's adaptive to have as many offspring as possible.
Right.
And so that's probably the evolutionary history of lust in terms of sexuality. And in general, in animals, that's a good thing. And you have to think about ourselves.
Not necessarily great for human beings, though.
Not necessarily in our current society and our family structures, but in our evolutionary history, that was the case. And you have to think about humans and our behavior as being built upon the biology of our evolutionary history.
And yet, I mean, oftentimes, even in religion, they think about these as sort of the animal spirits, right? And you're trying to discipline yourself to move away from your animal instincts. And just as we were saying, that having a whole bunch of kids is going to that's going to be a problem for most people in our society. I wonder, do we in science think of things you talked about as being too much? Where do we find that line?
Well, it's hard to know where the line is, in part because, as Larry was indicating, it differs depending on the context. So what's your social environment? What are your social relationships? In my case, when I look at inequity, do you have a better option somewhere? If you don't have a better option, then you might need to stick with what you've got. So where that line is going to be highly context dependent.
And probably impossible to test.
Yes. Well, you can test it for a given situation, but I don't think you can ever come up with a single prescription and say, this is what you should do.
In other words, you could test it for people in a workplace making this amount of money.
Exactly.
But that wouldn't necessarily apply elsewhere.
Well, you'd still have the same sense of envy, but it might not be in your best interest to do anything about it in all situations. So envying your sibling is different than envying someone you work with is different than envying a complete stranger.
I see. And Larry, how does that work out in your research in terms of finding the line where it's too much?
I think lust and desire for another person, for example, can be very positive in the beginning because ultimately that can lead into love and into a very positive kind of relationship. But then as it goes to an extreme, if you're in a relationship and you have lust for someone else, you can destroy your relationship. So there's definitely a very positive aspect to the desire for social relationships, but then that can be destructive for example.
Yeah, I'm sure we've all experienced that.
Yes.
Wanting something too much can be very destructive. So is do you feel, Sarah, like it is useful to do something like this? Obviously, it's a little bit of a clickbait, as we think. You know, you're saying the seven deadly sins, which is not really scientific. But is it helpful or useful to think of these things in scientific terms?
Absolutely. I mean, these are things that people care about and are interested in. And science should reach out and try to explain things that people care about and are interested in. So I think it's extremely useful to put it in this sort of context and to have these situations where people can come get a more public-friendly taste of science.
What do you think, Larry?
I think absolutely right. You know, we It's critical that we understand the biology of human nature, and sins are a part of our nature. But actually, what we study is not the sin aspect of it, but the motivational aspect of these different kinds of behaviors. Mm-hmm. And I think having this opportunity for people to come and hear about why is it that we desire relationships, for example, because that's a very positive thing. We all love people. And we can also benefit from learning about how sometimes the neural mechanisms go wrong, and you can have disorders like autism where there's difficulty in forming relationships.
Making relationships and connections.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes,
that's exactly. Interesting. Larry Young is the director of the Center for Translational Social Neuroscience at Emory University. Sarah Bronson is an associate professor of psychology and philosophy at Georgia State University. The Science of Sin event is part of a week-long Atlanta Science Festival. You can join Larry and Sarah at the Fernbank Science Center this Thursday evening at 6:30 for their presentations. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.